Brother Kevin and myself and Brother Cameron helped us out yesterday, and we left early. What time we leave here? 3:30, brother? Yeah, 3:30 or so in the morning, and we were on our way there and had a good time, had a good trip, really smooth trip, and got up there and got Mac, and it was a really good day, and so we're glad that we got to be or got to go up there and see the camp. And I'll go ahead and let all those who went to camp be ready tonight. I'd like you to maybe share a little bit of a testimony. So for those who went, be ready to share a little bit of a testimony. I know you love that, Miss Nancy, and we designed that just for you because I know it's such a blessing to you. But you're going to be a blessing to us by sharing with us a little bit of that. And you don't even have to come up here. We'll bring the mic to you. How's that sound? Is that a deal? Okay. All right, Miss Melanie, is that a deal? Okay, good. All right. So I really would love to do that, honestly. I think it's good for the church. You know, the church was behind you and supported it, and I think it'd be good for the church to hear tonight. So, and for those on live stream to hear how, just a few things and just whatever the Lord blessed you with, or maybe something that the Lord taught you this week, whatever you want to share. The one thing I did hear from pretty much everybody is that the food was really good. And so now I'm a little bit jealous, you know. And so I don't know what that's all about, but everybody, I mean, even the kids, they're like, Pastor, the food was good there. The food was good there. I'm like, great, great. Yeah, that's good. So, yeah. So they got some ideas, and they we'll just let them handle that. That'd be okay with me. So, okay, let's go ahead and go in our Bibles back to Genesis chapter 41. We are going to continue studying on the life of Joseph, and I tell you, every time I get in and study it, I get some new thoughts that the Lord's given me, some new things that the Lord's teaching me, and never get to the place, by the way, friends, that you ever stop learning, okay? Always open up your Bible and be open-minded and have a heart that is receptive to what the Lord wants to give you, and every time I open the Bible and read and come with the right perspective, I get something. And so that's just how good God is, and that's how you cannot exhaust the Word of God. And I'm talking about even the same text, maybe even a text that I've taught on for years. And Brother Kevin, I can still go back, and the Lord will give me something fresh. That's just what the Lord does. And so I'm so glad about that when I mean that. I mean, how many times have I read through Genesis, you know, reading through the Bible, whatever the case was. I've read through Genesis so many times I can't even tell you. And yet here we are again still learning from the Word of God. All right, so we're looking here in the life of Joseph, and actually, while we're getting ready to read that, who wants to volunteer to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11 for us? You want to get that, Roger? Okay, go ahead and get that scripture ready. The rest of us, let's go to Genesis 41, and let's do 41. Let's do a couple verses. As you guys know, I like to get everybody involved. Who wants to read the first couple verses here, and then we'll get somebody else? Connor? Read chapter 41, 41 and 42, and then let somebody else read another couple of verses. Yes, sir.
And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in the vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck.
Okay, who wants to do 43 and 44? Mommy.
And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and made him to bow over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt.
Okay, and who wants to do 45? Miss Melanie? Yes, please.
And Pharaoh called Joseph named Zaphnath Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out. Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt.
Okay, very good. Roger, go ahead and get Ecclesiastes 3:11 for us.
He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
All right. I really, really love that verse in Ecclesiastes that says he had made everything beautiful in his time. In his time. Now, again, sometimes when we're studying the Bible, we see what the text says, but also what can help us learn is what it doesn't say. And what it doesn't say is on your time. Yeah? I struggle sometimes with time. And you can ask my wife, and she'll say, yeah, he does. And if I think that I'm running late to something, and by the way, running late to me is not being here an hour before church, right? Okay, that to me is running late. Now, Wednesdays, I can't help that. If I get here by 6 o'clock, then I'm blessed because, you know, I'm coming straight from work, and hopefully I'm not stuck on a phone call or something like that. And so that's a blessing just to be able to make sure that I'm here when church time starts. But that's just my mind. And Brother Kevin, we were talking about that a little bit the other day. Usually no less, at minimum 15 minutes, but mostly 30 minutes before service. I'll tell you something that happened to me this last week. I was talking to my wife. I'm pretty sure that was Tuesday morning. And I have a different time frame that we start every single day. Mondays and Fridays, we start at 9. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, they want us there at 8. And then on Wednesdays at 8:30. And so you have to actually think about every day what time you're supposed to be there. And part of the reason is because we have like 8 meetings a week. I'm meetinged out all the time. And so on the days that we go earlier, there's always a meeting, and then there's always an end-of-the-day meeting too, by the way. But anyhow, on Tuesday, I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, I was up at 5 like normal. It's not like I was overslept, or it's not like I was feeling bad, or no flat tires, or ran out of gas, nothing like that. I just was getting things ready. I was talking to my wife and just enjoying my time. And then I thought, in my mind, I actually thought I was going to be there 45 minutes early, so I left about 7:45. Planning on being there about 8:15. So I literally thought, because I had a few things to catch up on, I literally thought, in my mind, I was going to be there 45 minutes early until my boss texted me at 8 a.m. said, where are you at? You're late. And I thought, oh my goodness, I am late. I'm sorry. I forgot the days mixed up. I'll be there in 15 minutes. So I was late. And they know that's not normal. They actually thought that, wondering if I was okay, because I'm normally there 15 to 30 minutes early. So how does that help us with what we're studying today? Because in my mind, that was on my time. In my mind, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be there early, but I was reminded real quick that, hey, that wasn't my time. My boss reminded me, you're on my time, and my time is 8 o'clock, not 8:15. It's an honest mistake. It wasn't no big deal, and we just moved on from it. But that's kind of what happens to us a lot of times as Christians. We think that we're on our time. And let me say something real quick. The time that you have, God has given you. Okay? The days that you have, God has given you. And yes, I know you're the one who makes the choices and the decisions. And that's why it's so important that we look and study these kind of things in the Word of God. But every day that God has given you, that is time that God has blessed you with. Amen? And so it kind of gives us another perspective when we wake up and we think, oh boy, look at everything that I have to do today. Or another perspective is, oh boy, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day and giving me more time so that I can serve you, so I can honor you. My eyes are open. I'm still breathing. My heart's still pumping. Thank you, God, for giving me another day. Even the psalmist says, so teach me to number our days. You know, when you start to number something, and you make a special point about it. You know, when we wake up as Christians, we ought to wake up with a purpose. Amen. We ought to wake up with a purpose. We ought to wake up with an intent on what we're going to do today, first of all, for the glory of God, but then also in our personal lives, we've got work, we've got things that we need to do, and that's all part of it. But we ought to be, above anybody else, be the ones that wake up with the purpose. Now, with that being said, I understand this. That doesn't mean that you don't wake up with aches and pains. I get that. I understand that. I understand you have back pains and foot pains and all kinds of other, I get it. I understand that. That doesn't mean that you enjoy every part of it, but it does mean I say, Lord, I need your strength today. I need your help today. Help me to serve you. Lord, you know the pain and discomfort that I'm dealing with today. And God, I need your strength. And you know, sometimes God can use those things to teach us, to help us to rely on him more. But nevertheless, that verse says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. So sometimes when we think about, well, we're still waiting on an answer to prayer, Lord hasn't done, just remember that God will make things beautiful in his time, that we're not on our time, we're on his time. Just like my boss reminded me that at that point, at 8 o'clock, I was not on my time, Brother Kevin. I was on his time. and I wasn't there, right? So, as we get in further into the lesson today and we study Joseph and we study everything that's been going on, a lot about what we've talked about is timing. We talked about how had he been released sooner, he would have ended up back in Potiphar's house I believe it's about 7 years when you would be released from being in bondage or slavery or something like that. And if he had gotten released before that, then he would have ended up back in Potiphar's house. And we know already that that wasn't a good experience for him. So I believe God knew that. I believe God knew the timing of the situation and the circumstance. And so God allowed him to be released when it was beautiful in his time, when it was the right timing, when God was ready to move him forward to the next step. Plus, at that moment, Pharaoh was not in the place, I believe, of desperation for the dreams that he was having. If he had been released 2 years earlier or 3 years earlier, whatever the timing would have been, he would not have had the opportunity to be such an impact that he was. And he was released at the right moment when Pharaoh was desperate for answers. And they got Joseph, and Joseph gave him the answer. So again, when you look at the big picture of the story, you think, man, he was done wrong. Yes, he was done wrong. Man, he was in jail. Yes, he was in jail. But God allowed him to be released in his time, and it ended up being a beautiful situation. And now we're studying that life still today, thousands and thousands of years later, because God made it beautiful in his time. The other thing that we notice, not just that, as far as the timing of Joseph's life, but first of all, the picture of Joseph's life. There's the timing, but then there's the picture of Joseph's life. Now, when we're talking about the picture of Joseph's life, understand that Joseph's life was a picture of Christ. Now, don't get confused. He was not Christ. He was not the Savior, but it was a picture. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll see pictures or types of Christ. I'll give you another example. The ark was a picture of Christ. It was symbolic of what Christ is. It's a picture of what Jesus does for us, and that those that were in the ark were spared. Just like today, those that are in Christ are spared, are saved, okay? So those that were in the ark were in a safe place. Those that are in Christ are in a safe place. So the ark, it's not Christ, but it is a picture of Christ. It helps us illustrate or remind us of who Jesus is. Joseph's life is a picture or a type of Christ. So when we look at Joseph's life, first of all, let's talk about Joseph's burden. His name, that name that Miss Melanie said so very well, say it again for us, Miss Melanie, in verse number 45. Can you say that word with the Z?
Zaphnath-Paneah.
Very good. That's why I gave you that verse, because I knew I was going to chop up that verse. And if you notice, I always give you verses that I, words that I can't say. No, I'm just kidding. But nevertheless, his name, A.W. Pink said this to the Egyptians, that word would have had the meaning of Savior to the world. Now, we know that he wasn't the Savior, okay? But I do think that we can describe him definitely at that moment as a hero, because of his obedience to God, it literally saved a lot of lives. We know that the theme verse for this study has been God meant it for good. How could God mean something good out of something so evil that's happened to somebody? Well, the end of that story in chapter 50, a lot of people were spared, including his own family, including his own countrymen, and even a nation that normally Israel is not at peace with. So God used that situation. So we see we're talking about Joseph's life and being a picture of Christ. His name had the idea of meaning Savior of the world. But first of all, there's Joseph's burden. Joseph's burden. Did Joseph carry a burden? Was there a burden on Joseph? What do you think some of those burdens were, just before we go any further? Again, I like to get sometimes where you give us your thoughts and perspective. What were some of the burdens that Joseph was dealing with? Being outcast from his family. Very good. Missing his family and his brothers. Being in slavery. And did he do anything to deserve to go there? No. Exactly. There's a lot of questions. I mean, why in the world am I here? Again, what you guys just described is a couple of things that pictures and illustrates what Jesus did for us. he was considered an outcast, Chuck. Even though he was the savior of the world, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they actually called him a blasphemer. He was a madman because he spoke of the Lord, and he had power and authority from God, and he had the power to forgive sins. That would have been considered an outcast as a blasphemer. When he was done wrong, you think about, did he deserve to be there? No, the Christ deserve to die on the cross? No, he did it for you and I. Nobody, for the record, took his life. Jesus said, I'd lay down my life. Nobody took it. So it was a willing thing that he did for us. So these are all things so we could talk about Joseph's burden. But now with that burden comes a couple of things. If we go back and read verses 42 through 43, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck and made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And he cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. So part of the burden does bring prosperity. Amen. Generally, when God puts a burden on someone and you endure it and you're faithful and you continue to serve, God generally blesses them, brings prosperity. Now, it does not always necessarily mean. You hear that word prosperity and people automatically assume financial gain. That's not necessarily true. Does God bless sometimes financially? Sure, he does. But just because we're talking about prosperity, and I don't preach a prosperity gospel, by the way. You're not going to hear that here at Florence Baptist Church, and I don't have time to get into all that right now. But when God blesses, it doesn't. Don't always assume that we're just talking about a financial blessing. Amen. There's other ways. Now, in this case, after the years of suffering, after the years in prison, looks like Joseph, because of the burden that he was willing to bear, was blessed. He was prospered. He prospered here. He immediately went from, I mean, you could almost literally say from rags to riches. This is a typical rags to riches story. He went from being in jail to now he's second in command in all the land. And he's wearing gold on his hand. He's wearing fine clothes. He's wearing a gold chain about his neck. And so all these things are things that he's given him. And the second chariot which he had. So that means that he was driving a pretty nice car. Maybe he was in a Mercedes. I don't know what it was, but Mercedes for that day, amen. How nice could a chariot be in that time? But nevertheless, God bless him. But also with the burden comes power, or I also like to say influence. Influence. You notice there in verse number 44, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift his hand or foot in all the land. So then he was given a position of authority because of the burden that he was willing to bear, but then also a position of influence. Now, here's the thing. If we're not careful, power can be intoxicating. In fact, John Phillips said, power is a heady wine intoxicating quickly. Okay? Power can be intoxicating, so you have to be careful. You know, sometimes people have the perception, well, if I was the boss, I would be more free. Actually, it's quite the opposite. It just means that you have more authority and more responsibility. When you're an overseer over something, or you're put in charge of something, it doesn't mean that you usually have less time or more time. It means that you have less time because the commitment is bigger. And so keep that in mind. But with that, with Joseph's burden, God blessed with prosperity, put in position of authority. And then, of course, there's a danger here, too. I want to make a point of this. There's a danger of pride. When you're given that, and God does bless, and you've been put in a position of authority, you do have to be careful, because pride can come in the way. Now, who's the one person who got kicked out of heaven because of pride? Satan. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14, if you'd like to look at that. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. Brother Dane has got it up here on the board for us, if you'd like to look at it there. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Did you notice that the Bible says, said in thine heart? Wednesday night, we made reference to something. I believe it was Wednesday night. That it's always a heart problem. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I have a problem with my tongue. It's not your tongue. eat your heart. Was that Thursday? It's a problem of the heart. Say, Pastor, I have a problem with my eyes. They looking at things that they shouldn't see. It's not a problem with your eyes, friend. It's a problem with your heart. Pastor, sometimes my feet take me places I shouldn't go. It's not a problem with your feet. It's a problem with your heart. Sometimes my hands touch things they shouldn't touch. It's not a problem with your hands, friend. It's a problem with your heart. Understand something. Biblically speaking, we have a heart problem. And the Bible clearly says here, thou hast said in thine heart. So you see, pride is a heart problem. Now I'm asking a question here. Who has a problem with pride? Everybody. Yeah. You see my point? In fact, somebody who would not raise their hand or not be willing to raise their hand is exactly the problem with pride. Pride is a big problem, friend. It really is. It's a big problem. There's more to it. There's, you know, if you really start digging into that thing. But there was a great danger. And the reason we're pointing this out, because yes, God blessed him. Yes, God gave him a position of influence and authority. And all that's wonderful. But it's important that with the burden, if you're not careful, once you're through some of that on the other side, you can end up in a position of pride. And it's happened so easily. And it sneaks in so quickly. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Amen. So, there is talking about Joseph's life being a picture of Christ as the burden. And of course, we could talk about a lot of the burdens that Christ bore. The Bible says he bore our sins. By his stripes we are healed. Okay, so he bore our burdens. Second of all, it's Joseph as a picture, or the picture of the church as the bride of Christ, right? Did you notice that the name that was given there in Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephaniah, and he gave to his wife an Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, and Joseph went all over the land of Egypt. So when Joseph was put in this position, he was blessed, he was given a position of authority, and then he was given a bride. Right? When Christ came down and bore our burdens, essentially we became the bride of Christ, we as the church. Okay? The church, scripturally speaking, is the bride of Christ. So we see a picture there that he was given as the bride of Christ. So as the bride, of course, we follow, you know, the bride that was given to him. You know, she follows Joseph's leadership. She follows Joseph's example. And surely she has known by this time that Joseph was a good man, a man of integrity. And so she follows, you know, her husband and the example of her husband. And what I want to say this is that we, as the bride of Christ, follow the example of Christ. We follow his leadership. We follow his example of servant leadership. We follow his example of compassion that he had on people. So as a church, as a bride of Christ, you don't follow a person. You don't follow a organization. You follow Christ. We follow him. And so there's a picture for us when we're talking about us as being the bride of Christ. The third thing I want to talk about this morning, or mention today, is talk a little bit more about the blessings, or Joseph's blessing. Now, there were some blessings that were given there, as well as the prosperity and other things. If we go down, let's go down to now 47 through 49. Who wants to read those three verses that hasn't read yet? 47 through 49. Brother Kevin? Get it over there, Obed. Roger. Obed's better. No, I'm just kidding, brother. I'm just kidding you, brother. Go ahead, brother Kevin.
And in the seven plenteous years, in the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering for it was without number.
Amen. So Joseph, like Jesus, was the one who provided the living bread. Thank you, Roger. Joseph, like Christ, provided bread. Now, of course, we know because of Joseph's willingness to submit, and for the record, being willing to submit is a great character trait of a mature Christian. Now, let me explain something to you, because sometimes we say that word submit, and everybody always just assumes that I'm talking to ladies. I'm not. For the Bible says submitting one to another, talking about husbands and wives. Now, yes, it does say for the wives to submit to their husbands. That is scriptural. That is Bible. But it also has a point as well of submitting one to another. Now, let me explain an idea or a concept about submitting. You're not really submitting until you're asked to do something that you don't necessarily even like or agree. Can I say that again? If I ask you, if I say, okay, church, everybody from church, I want you to, after church, as your pastor, we're all going to get pizza after church. All of us. You have to go, right? I want you to be there. I want you to be there, and I'm persistent about it. I said, hey, don't worry about the cost. We'll take care of it. We're going to go get pizza, or we're going to go get whatever. And I'm insistent on that. Now, I would say that most of you are probably going to agree with that sentiment. Say, you know what, Pastor, that sounds good to me. I can handle some pie, or I can handle some chimichangas or enchiladas. I could deal with that. And I probably would not have, as long as people had time, and I realize that time is sometimes an issue. But if you had the time, and I told you that we were going to take care of it, and I took away all the excuses, I don't think I would get a lot of resistance from that. Would I, Chuck, or would you buck me on that, Chuck Bucks? No cooking. Yeah, exactly. So would you say that if I asked you to do that, that would be difficult for you to comply? It would be difficult? To go to get pizza? Oh, okay, yeah. Yes. So something like that is not difficult. But then when you're asked to do something that maybe you don't even agree with, or you don't see the whole vision, or you don't understand the whole reasoning, or it's taking you to do something that you're not comfortable with, That's called submission. That first of all, I think, as the bride of Christ, you see that principle, first of all, in your home. Okay? You don't understand it all, but hey, you know what? We're going to do this. Sometimes there's things that I know that the Lord has us to do. We don't always understand why we should give, and sometimes we struggle. And, Lord, why do you want me to do this? But it's a principle of faith, really. You understand? So now, when we are willing to have that submissiveness, that's when God will bless. And that's what we're seeing here as a result of that. Because Joseph was a vessel willing to submit and be obedient to the will of God, now we're seeing these things. And one of those things is the blessing of being the one to provide bread. What a great, great place to be in, to know that the whole world is suffering in famine, but because of his willingness and obedience to the Lord, hey, he was willing to help people. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to be the one to say, hey, you know, I'm known as the hero of the world because I was submissive to the Lord, and now I'm able to provide food that people literally need to live on. Now, again, with that being said, I don't think that Joseph let the power go to his head, and I can give you scriptural examples why I believe that, okay? But he was the one who provided bread. Well, guess who Jesus is? All of this is, yes, it's about Joseph, but it points us to Christ. It points us to Jesus. Guess who's the one who is the bread of life? Amen? Who is the bread of life? Who is the one that provides your spiritual bread? It's not me. It's not me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God uses people. God uses circumstances, and we get feeding from that kind of thing. But Jesus is the bread of life. And so when we're talking about part of the blessing, it's a blessing to be the one who helps provide bread. And that was who Jesus ultimately was. And God used Joseph to do that. Then there was the blessing of birth. Who hasn't read yet? 41, 50 through 52 that wants to help us read. You want to get? Oh, okay. I hadn't even gone that far. There's some tough verses there, sis. 50 through 52. All right, go ahead, Miss Serena. Yep, 52.
And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Okay, very good. By the way, you're gonna be my lifeline. You know how sometimes there's a lifeline when you don't know the answer? I'm going to call you. I'm going to say, Serena, I'm struggling with this verse. Read that for me, okay? All right. Okay, good. Now that we got that out of the way, moving along. If you notice something here, friend, there's a hidden blessing here. There is something that has been born, if you will. I mean, the Bible literally says born two sons. Does anybody know what the name Manasseh means? It means forgetting. The name Manasseh means forgetting. This is what was born to Joseph through all the burdens, through all the heartache. His firstborn son that God blessed him with, named Manasseh, means forgetting. In other words, God had birthed something in Joseph's life that allowed him to forget all the struggles, all the pain, all the heartache. Let me ask it this way. This is for you mothers in here. For you mothers in here. Did you have pain and discomfort during your pregnancies and even when your baby was born? Was there some pain and discomfort? Miss Nancy, did it? Yeah? Ladies, Miss Cindy, Miss Linda, my wife. Now, let me ask you this question. We know that there was pain and discomfort, but what happened after that baby was born and then somebody put that baby in your arms? Were you thinking about that pain? What did you say? There was a key. She said that she forgot all about it. Where was your mind? On the baby. Were you overjoyed? Were you overwhelmed with pride and joy? And in a good pride, in a good pride. I'm proud of this baby. I've seen many times when, and I love to see this scene when a mother holds her child for the first time, tears start streaming down her face. And they're not tears of sadness. They're tears of joy. And it seems like all the pain and discomfort that you've had for 9 months and even for the moments or hours sometimes of contractions has been a little bit. I've been there. And all those Braxton Hicks and all that kind of stuff. I used to be better at those terminology. All that's gone because you forgot. This is what happened to Joseph. This is what God allowed him, his now firstborn son, Manasseh, and I don't think it's by accident that his name means forgetting. Forgetting is the ability to remember without feeling the pain. Now, I don't know ladies that forget when their children were born, right? They don't forget that. But they don't focus on the pain. It's they remember what happened, but they don't feel the pain. What they remember from that day is not the pain. What they remember from that day is the joy, the blessing that God has given them. So that is the blessing of birth that happens also when we are in Christ. Understand that that's one of the things that happens to us. The Bible does teach us, therefore, that are in Christ. Or let me just go over there, Romans chapter 5 real quick. This is not on our notes, Brother Dana, but I want to share this verse to kind of help us emphasize this point. In Romans chapter 5, if you'd like to go there with me. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. And so then with that also, let me see here. Here we go. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when somebody is born in Christ, the Bible says there is no more condemnation to them. In other words, it doesn't mean that your sin didn't happen. It means that part of that is God's not remembering that sin. when you cried out to God for forgiveness. Aren't you glad? You're justified now because of your forgiveness. There's no condemnation in Christ. So you're birthed into the family of God, and there is a forgetting process that happens. Amen. When we ask God to forgive, in fact, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a washing that God does. Part of that concept, friend, when God washes us, He doesn't look at us and He see the sin. He sees the blood of Christ that has cleansed our sin, and that's what He sees. So there is a forgetting process. There's that thought of burying our sin in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but it means that God forgot it. So, all right, so that's probably where I'm going to stop for today for our lesson. Thank you again for being here today. Any thoughts or comments? Anything that maybe the Lord helped you with this morning? Anybody want to share? Miss Nancy? Okay. Sweet and sour, wow. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't know what you guys were dealing with, and you didn't know what we were dealing with. Yeah. So when you see things like that, when you see things orchestrated like that, where does something like that come from? That's only the Lord, guys. I don't know what you guys are studying at camp. I don't know what, you know, we don't, that's, it's not like I called up there and I say, what are you guys teaching so I can make sure I reinforce that at church. No, I didn't have those kind of conversations with Brother Troy. And so something like that. And so here's the thing about it. If it was orchestrated by God, then we should be even more receptive of the message because, you know, the Lord says, here's a dose, here's another dose. Why don't you go ahead and get a double dose of this? So, I don't know, maybe, go ahead, Roger. He did, yeah, that's good. So, all right. Well, maybe the Lord is speaking to us about issues of the heart. So, all right, guys. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Roger, do you want to dismiss us in prayer? Since you got the mic there, brother, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you today as humbly as we know how, Lord. We thank you for this time of studying your word and gleaning from it so we can feed and be able to walk your way and just to listen and apply what we've learned and what we've heard today, Lord. We've heard that we all need to take a look at our hearts, Lord, and we know we do, Lord, and we just hope that you move in our hearts. Bless the service about to come. Bless tonight's service. Bless us all as we go our separate ways in between them, and we'll give you all the thanks and honor and glory in your Son's mighty and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.